Just before I start the reading, in Australian Sign Language, which short is Auslan, but that's what it is, Australian Sign Language, when someone goes like that, with your thumbs out, cover it like that.
Okay. Can you do that?
It means, I want happiness for someone who's very important to me. I'll be kind and caring to them and protect them. So that's one way of saying or signing love. Today's reading is about love, and I want you to listen very carefully and make that sign whenever you hear the word love or loved. So we listen. So the reading is from John 15, 9 to 17. Jesus said, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. In the same way, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you to do this so that my joy will be in you. I also want your joy to be complete. Here is my command, love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Here is my command, love each other." Our reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. No, I'm sorry, Diane, that doesn't make sense. Reading just a tiny bit of scripture, four verses from the book of Acts, it's like coming in during the last 2 minutes of the movie when the boy gets the girl and they all live happily ever after.
Yes, except I don't think they make movies like that anymore.
Well, they should.
Well, yes, they should.
But look, the first sentence in the passage says, whilst Peter was still speaking, I mean, to whom? Why? What's going on?
Okay, well, let's go back to the beginning and have a look. Then you can read the passage for today. The scene opens in the city of Caesarea. There was a centurion, a bloke from the Roman army. He was a good man, did the right sort of thing, gave generously to charity, that sort of thing. And he believed in the one God that the Jews believed in.
You mean he was a Roman, but he was Jewish?
Well, not exactly. There were lots of people who had learned about the one God from the Jews, but they hadn't actually become Jews. Among other things, if you were male, it meant you had to be circumcised.
Well, glad I wouldn't have to worry about that.
His name was Cornelius, and he'd had a dream, a vision he called it, since it happened in the middle of the afternoon, that he should send for a man named Peter.
This is the same Peter who was Jesus' disciple?
That's right. Except instead of being thick as two short planks and always saying the wrong things, Peter, it seems, is now a first-class preacher. And Peter also has a dream or a vision because it also happened to him in the middle of the day.
They hadn't been on some weird mushrooms or smoking something?
No. Peter had a vision about a huge sheet that came down from the sky. And in the sheet there were the animals that Jewish dietary laws said were no-nos. Peter heard a voice.
Hey, I think I know this. The voice said, "Get up, Peter, take and eat."
That's right. And Peter said, "No way, I'm a good Jew. I don't eat that stuff. It's unclean."
What God has made clean, don't call unclean.
That's right. And it happened three times. So Peter figured it must be serious.
That somebody knocked on the door and it turned out to be some messengers from the Roman soldier.
That's right. They said to Peter, "Our master Cornelius would like you to come to his house. He's had a vision that told him to ask you to come. He knows you have something important to tell him."
And did Peter go?
Well, he hemmed and hawed a bit about it because Jewish law said that a good Jew didn't go into the house of a Gentile. If he did, he'd be ritually unclean. But then Peter kept hearing the voice that said, "What God has declared clean, don't you call unclean."
That's right. Peter went, And when he got there, the house was full of people. Cornelius had invited all his friends and neighbours, who wanted to know what has God told Peter to say to them.
And Peter says, "My friends, God shows no partiality. In any place or nation, anyone who tries to live a decent faith is acceptable to God. That includes you people."
Then Peter preached the sermon of his life. He told the story of Jesus, the gospel of love and justice that Jesus had lived, and how he had been found guilty of sedition and crucified on a Roman cross.
They put him to death by hanging him from a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead.
Okay, I think we've now got up to today's reading.
Okay then, Anne, why don't you read it then?
While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The Jewish believers had come with Peter, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, before they heard them speaking in tongues, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter spoke to them. "Can anyone without the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So Peter ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The wisdom of God.
In case you haven't already noticed, today is Mother's Day. I think that some of you have noticed you are all wearing flowers. I love Anne's Mother's Love rose, lots of chrysanthemums and a beautiful display of flowers at the front. And you may have heard about it once or twice on the television. Yes, it's Mother's Day, a day on which we're encouraged to remember with gratitude the love our mothers showed us and to attempt to show them, if they're still here, or to remember about them, to attempt to show them that we, in return, love them. If we believe the hype, we do this by a combination of spending a lot of money on anything from chocolates, flowers and perfume, to the more expensive suggestions of jewellery and electrical appliances. And don't forget, of course, that sentimental verse on cute cards with pretty pastel pictures. The love that mothers at their best can show is certainly worth celebrating. The love that children in good circumstances learn from their mothers in their homes is also worth celebrating and nurturing. Love is always worth celebrating and nurturing. And there is nothing wrong with remembering what is, for most of us, the earliest place we learn about receiving and giving love. Love is always worth celebrating. But love is not rated according to the relationship between those who love and those who receive love. All love is valuable and worth celebrating. Whether it is between mother and child or father and child, between brother and sister, husband and wife, or those in committed same-sex relationships. And as Jesus reminds us, it's worth celebrating the love that is between friends. Love is not measured by who gives it and receives it. There is no love that's more special because of who gives it and receives it. Love is measured in how we use our lives to show that love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Laying down one's life is not necessarily about being prepared to die for someone. Sometimes it is. It was for Jesus, as Peter tells us, as Peter told the group of Gentiles gathered around that day. It has been for many, many more people and continues to be. Those who have been prepared to risk their life for the sake of others show their love in this way. But more often, laying down one's life is about being prepared to give of one's life in smaller ways, sometimes bigger, but always costly. It's about being prepared to live for others, to use our lives for the benefit of others in a myriad of ways. This is the way we show love, with our lives, with our time, with our effort, and with our generosity. And for most of us, our first experience of this, of being shown love in this way, is from our parents, in our family. And for most of us, because of the way it's structured, primarily from our mothers, although our fathers love us no less. But it is not in families that our experience of love should end. Ideally, we learn to love in our families. We learn to love those close to us. Not so it ends there, but that so we can then learn to let the breadth and extent of our love keep expanding, so that there is no boundary to where our love is shown, no boundaries to where we are called to shape our lives, to lay down our lives for the benefit of others. It is this growing realisation of the breadth of God's saving love and the scope and extent of love that we heard in the Acts reading. Peter is led to understand that God's love has no boundaries, that all are included in God's saving love, and all are included in our understanding of neighbour and of friends that we are called to love. Those whose needs demand our attention and our response. I want to read you part of a story that for me really touched on what I think Mother's Day is about at its best. I saw this on the Uniting World website this week. It is a sad story, but I found it also a very inspiring story. When Hugh didn't breathe, I don't remember panicking. He was here. He was solid and warm, skin to skin, for one glorious moment before being hauled off to be worked on by competent staff. The daughter of a midwife, I knew that babies were often born flat, and in modern hospitals like ours, the remedies were usually relatively simple. Hugh did not breathe. Not ever. He died 8 hours later, healthy, strong, with a pair of bright blue eyes that looked at us directly and knew our voices. A 1 in 10,000 baby, his lungs didn't make the transition required of them to adapt to the breathing system outside the safety of the womb. In Hugh's case, it had no known cause. Every Mother's Day, along with so many other mothers, I feel loss as well as joy. We have 2 daughters who are life itself. I have a mum who taught me everything I know about love. But on Mother's Day, I find myself thinking of mothers holding children who die in their arms, as Hugh did in ours. There was nothing we could do to prevent Hugh's death. Within minutes of his diagnosis, the best specialists in the country were en route to treat him. All the medical science in the world, all the technology, every ounce of love and faith we poured out over his little body wasn't enough to anchor him. In those days and months since Hugh died, I've wondered countless times how it feels as a mother to hold a dying child and know that his death is preventable. That with more money, a doctor, water, some food, I could save his life. I cannot begin to imagine what that might feel like. I don't want to imagine what it would feel like, but I imagine it. In a letter to you in the days after his birth, my husband Doug wrote, "Hugh, I want to remember as I grieve that not to work against the injustice of the world is to somehow admit that your life is of greater value than other children around the world. Our world only has a hopeful future when I realise that your death is as tragic as a little boy in Iraq." It's an idea that echoes in my consciousness. I love my daughters. I would do anything for them. But what of the rest of the children of this world and their mothers who presumably feel the same? When the news became public that our healthy, robust son had died, unable to breathe, people seemed unable to comprehend the situation. How did it happen to people like us? And where was God in the midst of this suffering? We were comforted by friends who told us that God had allowed this to happen to us for a reason, and that we would not be allowed to suffer beyond what we could bear. My own thoughts are different. God does not sit above us, directing the traffic and deciding what life lessons will benefit us and who can bear what kind of tragedy. Life is complex and random, and many things happen without warning. Babies die simply because humans are frail, and God joins us in our grief. Babies die because humans see only their immediate circumstances and do not share their resources. And again, God is filled with grief. And men and women suffer well beyond what they can bear all the time. 21,000 mothers grieving the unnecessary deaths of 21,000 children every single day can testify to that. God calls us to respond. This Mother's Day, as I read a child's shaky handwriting and open carefully chosen gifts, I will be transported inexorably to a morning 8 years ago when another child struggled to draw breath. I will be reminded of mothers everywhere who have loved and lost with the same strength of feeling as me. And once again, I will renew my commitment to know and care about the mothers I will never meet, the children whose faces I will never see. Hugh's name means heart, mind and spirit. Part of his legacy to me on Mother's Day and every other is to commit with everything I have to quietly working alongside mothers, fathers and communities who want nothing other than to watch their children grow up, because love is stronger than death and every child matters. I couldn't prevent Hugh's death, but there are plenty more I can. It's as simple and as complicated as that. Mother's Day is about love, not the pretend sort that suggests we can pay it back with garish gifts or sickly sentimentality. It's about love, but it's not just about love for our families, or even just for our country, or just for other Christians. It's about love for all the world. Mother's Day is about love, about nurturing love, love that calls us to lay down our lives, love that grows in ever-increasing circles, love that acknowledges that there is no one, no one who is beyond God's love and ours, love that is seen in how we respond to those who most need our love. Sing to God a new song, the psalmist urges. Sing to the God who remembers us with steadfast love and faithfulness. It is a song that is picked up in the life of Jesus, in the commands of Jesus, that we love one another. May our song this Mother's Day be a love song for our mothers, for our children, for our families, for our country, for our world. May our song be a love song, a joyful noise in which the whole world can join. Amen.